tuned into Quick Charge, the high voltage podcast bringing you the top stories in electric vehicles and sustainable energy daily. And it's all powered by Electrek. Welcome back to another episode of Quick Charge. It's June 6th, 2024. I'm your host, Joe Boris. In the comments yesterday, I was accused of taking numerous shots at Elon Musk and Tesla whenever I got the chance. Someone else who's taking shots at Elon every time he gets the chance is Jeep. Jeep is taking aim at Tesla with its first electric SUV. Now, this is something that's a huge deal for Jeep. Jeep is probably Stellantis' most valuable brand, including Maserati, Alfa Romeo, and all that. Jeep is the brand that is the most upscale and that is the most likely to open new markets and attract new customers in all of Stellantis' portfolio. So this kind of vehicle, a premium, all-electric, five-passenger SUV, right in that near lux range, competing with Acuras, Cadillacs, Mercedes, BMW. This is a critical launch for Jeep. And if they get that right, I think they are going to be able to win over a lot of Tesla Model Y, maybe even some Model X drivers. Speaking of the Tesla Model Y, Volkswagen is also going after Tesla's market share. Their ID.4 EV lease price is now the same as the Model Y after Volkswagen subsidized their existing leases by about $100 a month. With Volkswagen's nationwide dealer network and their ability to offer a product that's just a little bit different from the Tesla, I think this is going to steal a lot of customers over from Model Y, especially people who are on their second Model Y and maybe facing down the prospect of leasing a third one. That's kind of the reason that a lot of companies update their products quickly. You have a customer that likes, for example, a Volvo XC90. They like it. They lease it for 3 years. Maybe they get another one. 3 years after that, are they likely to get a third one, especially if the model is effectively the same? That's a tough sell, and that's something that I think Tesla is going to start to have to reckon with just at the time that these vehicles are getting better and better. Now, speaking of the competition getting better and better, Rivian unveiled their next generation R1 EVs, and they're going to cut the cost of the car itself without affecting driver experience. Now, it's not quite true that they're not affecting driver experience. They're making the driver experience better and still cutting cost. This is one of the things we talk about all the time, sometimes called the diffusion of innovations. As technology progresses, it gets more affordable and better. In the same way that a supercomputer used to fill a room and cost $500,000, now you have a computer in your pocket that's $500 and has 10 times the processing power of what we had to send people to the moon. Call it a phone, call it a computer, whatever it is, it's still a great example of this idea that technology gets smaller, better, and more affordable as time goes on. And that seems to be what's happening at Rivian. Now, if you're a gearhead, you absolutely need to take a look at Fred's article. It's got great pictures showing the Generation 1 battery next to the Generation 2 battery, Gen 1 controllers, Gen 1 motors, Gen 1 ECUs, all of that side by side with the Gen 2. This is all Gen 2 stuff that I'm showing here. Go check out that article, really take a deep dive into it and compare for yourself side by side the Generation 1 versus the Generation 2 stuff. It is really, really neat. And as far as like the improved stats that you get from upgrading all this stuff, new large and max battery packs have redesigned modules and more efficient packaging, making them easier to manufacture and service while offering up to an estimated 420 miles of range. Now, again, this is not a joke. These are serious people. This is not a Twitter feed or some kind of meme. That 420 is probably actually 420 miles and not some kind of ridiculous reference for the Joe Rogan fans. Now, Rivian also wrote about its new drive units. The new R1 platform offers more power, performance, and range thanks to a Rivian designed and built drive unit offered in tri-motor and quad motor configurations. The 1,025 horsepower quad motor R1T delivers 0 to 60 miles an hour in less than 2.5 seconds and is a staggering 1,198 pound-feet of torque when using launch mode. The new motors and batteries enable 2.50 to 60 for the R1T quad motor. And Fred, the writer of this article, managed to do a 2.7-second run on the drag strip last week, but he was able to witness some people get that 2.5 seconds. So, you know, a little simple green on the tires, maybe switch over to some Nittos, something a little more aggressive than the standard ATs in all seasons. You'll get into that 2.5. You might even get into the 2.2s. We'll see. It's not all great news in the world of EVs. NIO's stock is sliding after Q1 results despite expected surge in Q2 vehicle deliveries. Now, despite the fact that NIO, which has become famous in recent years for its battery swap technology, they have swapped millions of batteries in China and Europe and Scandinavia and all that, they are kind of proving that stock prices don't have a whole lot to do with reality. At least they don't always have a whole lot to do with reality or health of the business, because Neo's sales are effectively looking to double this next quarter compared to where they were a year ago. So the company's doing well. It seems to be operating in the black. It's got Chinese backing, but regardless, the stock is still sliding. But that's okay, because it could be worse, especially if you're a fan of Fisker. Fisker Inc. bankruptcy looms as latest SEC filing shows it has defaulted on a $3.5 million loan. Now, Fisker has been in trouble lately. They've been accused of using pre-production vehicles to repair customer cars. One Fisker was allegedly totaled because they couldn't get a hinge for the hatchback. So Fisker is in trouble. And even after dropping their price to sub $20,000 for a brand new Fisker Ocean EV, not a lot of people, at least nobody that I know, has taken them up on that offer. So it does seem like a bankruptcy is imminent, especially after this last missed payment. According to an 8K filing submitted to the SEC by Fisker on May 29th, the automaker has been notified by noteholder CVI Investments, Inc. that it had failed to make a payment due on May 10th, 2024, resulting in a default on a loan totaling $3.456 million. CVI wants its money. There's a lot of great information in this piece by Scooter. It talks about similar bankruptcy filing that Fisker has already entered into in Europe. Magna, which is the tier one supplier that's been manufacturing these vehicles for Fisker, they're projecting a significant decline in production because all the Fisker Oceans they thought they were going to be making doesn't look like they're going to be making them. So all the people who are most intimately associated with this project, who have had a really good look behind the curtain, they don't think it's going to go well. So we'll see if Fisker gets another cash infusion from another automaker. At one point, Nissan looked like they might come in and bail them out. We'll see if that happens. And if not, yikes. And finally, we're going to close out the day with some utility news, some energy news, some green power news. The U.S. installed more solar in Q1 of 2024 than it did in all of 2018. Now, this is a tremendous, tremendous achievement. So we're not talking about four times as much in a year, right? We're not talking about 2024, they're going to install four times as much new solar capacity as they did in 2018. Too soon to tell. And we're certainly going that way, but too soon to tell. But think about this. The total installed capacity of the U.S. solar is 200 gigawatts of electricity. That's a huge number. I want to read here from the article. This is an article by Michelle Lewis. This quarter proves that new federal investments in clean energy are revitalizing American manufacturing and strengthening our nation's energy economy. This is a direct result of what used to be called the Green New Deal. It's putting people to work. It's generating clean energy. It's making the grid not only more resilient, not only more capable of meeting increasing energy demands, but also cleaner than it has ever been. So whenever you hear somebody criticizing electric vehicles saying, oh, well, you know, you plug into the coal plant or whatever, regardless of the fact that that's way more efficient than idling diesel in stop and go traffic, it is still worth noting that it's a compelling argument, right? People don't like the idea of coal. They don't like the idea of oil burning stations or diesel generators or anything like that. So understanding that there are gigawatts and gigawatts and gigawatts of energy being produced by solar, and there's more every day, this is a huge thing. So now one last set of statistics here. Utility scale solar saw record deployment figures as the segment added nearly 10 gigawatts of new capacity in Q1. Florida had 2.7 gigawatts, Texas 2.6 gigawatts, and other states like New Mexico and Ohio also had strong quarters, installing 686 and 456 megawatts respectively. Now, one thing that's interesting to me, at least a little, you know, YouTube guy who's just been here a couple of days, is the fact that a lot of these are what you would traditionally call red states. And I think that there has always been this idea of energy independence that has been very strong and has kind of crossed the aisle. Doesn't matter if you're left-leaning, right-leaning, conservative, liberal, at the end of the day, this idea of clean energy, low-cost energy, and energy independence, and the ability to kind of wean ourselves as Americans or as a country off of foreign oil has always been something that's been welcomed on both sides of the aisle. We're welcoming it here now with this new solar upgrade. So that's it for today, June 6, 2024. If you liked what you heard, be sure to like and subscribe. If you didn't like what you heard, like and subscribe anyway. Maybe I'll get better next week. Thanks again.